Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Stay tuned because God is going to do something awesome in this place on today. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and right after this song, I will be right back.
You're listening to The Sound.
Live, and I am just excited. I'm excited about another day that I am alive. My old friend Reggie Brown used to say, it's a great day to be alive. Amen. So I'm happy to have woke up this morning, amen, in my right mind with the movement of my limbs and looking for another opportunity to go out there and live my dreams, amen, to have success. Amen. So I'm excited about the guest that we have today. Most of you know that this has been Men's Month on Woman to Woman. So we have had an exciting time with men calling in all month long to speak to the women, amen, to speak into the lives of the women that come, and also the men, because most of you know that I have more men calling into the show than women. So I'm just excited to be able to have a men's month and also to be able to have my guest that's going to be with me on today, Mr. Vercy L. Walker. Amen. I tell you, and he is the author of the best-selling book, Success, how I ended up here. And I tell you, if you haven't read this book, you want to get your copy of this book, Success, How I Ended Up Here. And, you know, God talks in the Bible in 3 John 2. John wrote, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." And also, God says in Jeremiah 29:11, "Beloved, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Amen. And, you know, God continually works with us and in our lives to fulfill his promise. Amen. The promises that he gave to Abraham, amen, to our forefather in the faith, that he would take us to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And also we know in the book of Joshua, he talked about having good success. Amen. So I tell you, God is not only concerned about your relationships, your health, your ministry, but God is also concerned about your success. Amen. And this book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, I had the privilege of getting a copy of it early in the year when I went to a empowerment conference that my good friend Lalisa Wims, prophetess, minister Lalisa Wims, was hosting. And I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Walker and to get a copy of his book. And this book has just inspired me to keep moving forward in spite of everything. Do you know people, and the book is talks about sales. On the back cover it says, "How much money have you lost already?" And a lot of people will say, "Well, I'm not into sales. I don't like sales." But do you know, I'm going to let Mr. Walker talk about that, but you're already in sale. If you're promoting anything, and even if you're promoting yourself, if you're promoting the gospel, if you're promoting, if you're looking for a job, if you've ever been on a job interview, believe me, you are in sales. And Mr. Walker is going to talk about that a little bit later. But I wanted to bring him on because we're going to end the year with a bang. We're going to end the year with a bang. We're ending strong. So I'm going to bring him right on. I just want to give you an introduction. This is his bio. As a matter of fact, let us pray, and then I'm going to read the bio, and then I'll bring on our guest. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name today. God, you are worthy to be praised. I thank you for this day. I thank you for all who are listening, all who are assembled together in the chat room. I thank you for everyone who is listening via the archive. And God, I just ask that you will bless this time that we are here. Bless my guest, Versiel Walker. Bless those who are coming to listen via the phone lines, via the internet, via the archives. Father God, give us, Father God, clear direction on where it is that you will have us to go. Speak to the hearts of each and every person that comes. Save souls, change lives, set the captives free, oh God. And Lord, teach us the way that we should go, Father God, in order to have good success. Amen. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you for what you're doing and what you're about to do. Bless this time that we are on the air. Bless this 90 minutes, oh God. And we will be ever so careful at the end of this time to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray this prayer. Amen and praise God. Well, hallelujah. Well, my guest is here. I'm going to read his bio about the author. Versiel Walker, for more than 20 years, has worked in various sales positions. Versiel worked for companies such as Prudential Life Insurance, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Bank of New York as a Series 7 licensed financial advisor, specializing in annuities, mutual funds, stocks, and bonds, before forming his own company operating several retail stores from the East to the West Coast. He has studied many of the techniques, habits, and behaviors of the top salespeople and went on to become a successful entrepreneur. My God, his strategies and techniques will help the reader discover the secret powers to becoming successful beyond their dreams. Now, that's what I'm talking about. So without taking up any further time, I want you to all just welcome my guest for the hour, amen, the man of the hour, Mr. Versi L. Walker. Yay! Welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me, Pastor. Thank you so much, and thank you for your guests who are listening and those who may go to the archives. How are you doing?
I am doing really, really well today. Actually, just a really well. My mom is relocating, and I was helping her move this morning, so I'm blessed, you know, just blessed. I'm going to miss my mom, though.
Now, where's she headed to?
We're in New Jersey, and she's moving to North Carolina.
You know what? I'm
only
not
seven.
Mad at her.
I know. She's a woman of great faith. She does not like the snow, and she's owned her own home here for about 15 years in Newark, and she's hard-headed like me. She's stubborn, so she wouldn't wait for anybody to shovel her snow, though she would go out there and shovel the snow. But now she's tired. She's tired of the snow. She's 69. She's a young 69. She still has a lot of life in her. But she wants to just go and relax and enjoy some sunshine. She's from North Carolina. Actually, she's from Georgia. And she just wants to go back south, so...
God bless her. God bless her. I was actually in North Carolina back in July and had the distinct pleasure to be there on the day in which the Greensboro Four from the Carolina AMT University, they had the sit-in in 1960 at the Woolworth, and they sat in from February 1st to July 25th to break up, disband segregation. And so there is actually the Civil Rights International Museum that was opened up February of 2010. And so July 25th ended the sit-in, and they had a big commemoration. And I believe three of the four men are still alive, but two are actually in attendance at the hotel, next door. And this, if you ever get to go right there in Greensboro and go to this International Civil Rights Museum, state-of-the-art, but it's so informative and so impactful. And I had a great time down there. And tell your mom, don't eat too many hominy grits and fried bologna because they love it down there.
Wow. Well, she's a Southern girl, so I certainly will. She'll be tuning in a little bit later on. She's in the middle of the move, so prayerfully she'll get to listen. But I want to thank you for agreeing to be my guest. I know you are a very busy man. I tell you, I've been watching you over on Facebook. Now, did you have a book signing scheduled for today?
No, not today. That was actually on Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday was in Detroit at the Metro Airport there in Detroit. And then Wednesday was actually at a good friend of mine's establishment. 6 years ago when I became self-employed, this individual who really didn't even know me at all, I called them and asked could I actually piggyback off of their product and, private label it here in New York. And they said, you know what? We don't normally do this. I said, let me come in town. I want to sit down and talk with you. After 2 hours later, we had an agreement where I had the entire East Coast distribution, and we built a great relationship from that. And so they actually are in my book under the acknowledgement section. And so when I called her about a month ago and said, I'm coming back, to Chicago for vacation and visit the family for Thanksgiving, can I do a book signing fundraiser there? She said, no problem. So that was Wednesday's book signing. So I had two. I'm back here in Chicago while I've been here in town.
Now this was at a gourmet popcorn store?
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm not sure. And not everybody on the East Coast is as passionate about their popcorn as the Midwest is. but this is a black-owned operated establishment. They use all natural products, so their popcorn is not even it's not even air pop, it's dry pop, because there is a certain amount or a drop of water in each kernel of popcorn. So it's dry pop, and they have one of the larger kernels, so the popcorn pops up even bigger. But the flavors span from just your regular plain or butter all the way to jalapeno. They even have a caramel. They have a caramel that
wow.
has chocolate. They have chocolate drizzled on it with peanuts. It's amazing, but, you know, they're a great couple. They're an older couple, about 20 years, you and I are senior, but their business is impeccable. Their establishment is impeccable. Their relationship with the community is impeccable. And like I say, they allowed me to go ahead and venture out into my entrepreneurial dreams. And like I said, that was 6 years ago. Three businesses later, we still have a great relationship. And once I make the amount of money I would like to make, I want to open the establishment again back on the East Coast and then start franchising.
Wow. So do they do mail orders? Can we order
they
by
do.
Mail or
they
can
do
we go
mail
to their
orders.
Website?
Yes, you can go to their website. The company is called Let's, L-E-T hyphen S, oh, I'm sorry, apostrophe S, Let's Get Poppin', and it's P-O-P-P-I-N. So Let's Get Poppin', and they're Chicago, Illinois, at 11758 Western Avenue, and they do ship out daily. But
58
it's unbelievable.
Western
it's
Avenue?
It's addictive. Western Avenue. Yep, Chicago, Illinois,
wow.
Western Avenue. The popcorn is addictive,
wow.
so be careful.
Well, I'm going to visit their website and see about getting me some of that Let's Get Popping popcorn.
Get popcorn.
And I do have some listeners in Chicago. So for those of you, Erica and Pastor Larry, you know what to send me. Go on over there to Let's Get Popping and send me some popcorn. They probably are customers of Let's Get Popping.
Yes.
Mr. Walker, I tell you again, I thank you for being with me, and I know that you came to share with my guests. Now, your book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, I don't want to interview you. I want to just flow with you. I want to talk to you about success and how that pertains to the kingdom of God and what your book, how can we as Christians, use your book to be more successful in our lives. And
perfect,
I know you're
perfect.
A man of God, too.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Great. So, you know
so,
what? Let me know
so
where you want
me
to start. I'm here for you.
Yeah, let me give you the floor. I want you to just talk to us a little bit. I know God has put some things upon your heart to share with us here on Woman to Woman. I'm here every Saturday speaking to the women and the men. The men come and they call the show, and we've been talking about relationships. We have talked about purpose. We've talked about, you know, anything parenting and marriage, anything pertaining to the life of a woman. But you know and I know that all of these, in order for all of these to operate the way that God would want them to, we have to have a certain level of success,
correct.
You know. So I wanted you to come because I knew that you could speak something into the lives of the listeners. And also I know that you do some motivational speaking. So I want you to just go ahead and jump right in with both feet. And let's see where we go.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And you're right, the book, you know, is titled Success, How I Ended Up Here. And in the bottom subsection of the book on the front cover, it says, the premier guide to discovering the ultimate salesperson in you. And I never knew how people would hone in on that section as opposed to the top or the entire book. And you're right, so many people are adverse to the word sales and salespeople. And, again, you're also correct, Pastor, that anything you do, if you're living and breathing today and you're offering a product or service or a concept, you're in sales. Even customer service representatives are in sales, and they found out more about that in the last 2.5 years than ever before because corporations and businesses have scaled back on their workforce, and they're now putting the secretary, the receptionist, and anybody else who has first contact with the customer offering them additional products and services, and they are selling. And for the women who listen to your show, Women to Women, if you're married, you're a great salesperson, you know, because you've convinced someone to love you, you know, and want to marry you. And I tell people sales is actually the top leading industry, but with the highest paid revenue ever generated, not doctors, not astronauts, not engineers. It's salespeople. If you go to Afghanistan right now on somebody's work site, you will see a Caterpillar dump truck. Someone sold that. If you go to China and you see a Dell computer on an office desk, someone sold that. So I think we need to get away from the old negative connotation that somebody's going to try to ram something down my throat or sell me something I don't want, and look at it holistically, that anything that's in your home, someone sold you on that concept. And if they did a great job, Pastor, you wanted to buy it more than they were selling it. So when I talk to people, and you know, I know some of our Christians are still in the old mindset that they don't want the kingdom of heaven. They don't want to be successful because look what Lindsay Lohan, look what so-and-so on TV did. They acted a fool when they got rich. No, money doesn't make you something you're already not. Just like, you know, alcohol doesn't make you what you're not. It just enhances who you really are. And if you don't know how to perform or act with money, it doesn't matter if you have it or don't. But when we talk about the Bible and God is saying, you know, land of milk and honey, and in his mansion there's a lot of room, you know, in his kingdom there's many mansions, and we're living like paupers, why are we doing that? Why are we in that vein and not thinking, you know, prosperity consciousness as opposed to poverty consciousness? So I made sure in this book, even on my preface, I talk about the great I am. I talk about my God and the universe and the universal laws and principles that we are enacted and working in. See, people don't realize the Ethernet is part of the ether, which is the universe. The radio waves and vibrations that we speak out into the universe, they vibrate and come back to us. It took someone who was smart enough to capture those vibrations and put them in radioactive waves and then created the radio or created the Internet or created the wireless network. It's always been here. The principles have always been here. The laws have always been here. It just took someone to enact on it. And when they did, they had to sell that context, I mean, that concept to the engineers, to the developers, to the creators, and then had to have someone now sell that to the mainstream media in some form or another. And so in understanding that, for me, I lost a lot of momentum. I lost a lot of money throughout the years because I avoided sales like many other people, like the plague. So I did everything other trying to avoid sales and didn't realize I had been doing sales since I was 3 years old in grammar school, and that once I stopped trying to sell a product, a service, or a feature and started looking at the benefits, it benefits you if you're making $100,000 a year in income. And I tell you as an insurance salesman, if you still maintain the same level of income, well, in 10 years, you would have made $1 million. Would not you and your family benefit from that $1 million for that 10 years? You'll say yes. I said vacations, you'll say yes. I'll say, you know, groceries, you'll say yes. And so I said, okay, well, why not get you a $1 million life insurance policy should you die one day before the end of the 10 years or tomorrow? Because you still have an obligation and a duty to see your family through, whether you're alive or not. And you say, you know what, that's true. But the average African-American would say, well, you know what, I don't want to make them rich while I'm gone. Let me just get 50,000 life insurance policy. I'm like, what are we thinking? Why would we do that? So now you're guaranteed that they're going to be destitute another generation? You're guaranteeing that guy you think who's winking at your wife, you're guaranteeing that she may have to date or marry him because she can't facilitate or pay for the 3 children in the house that you know, guy was dreaming to maintain together? Why are we thinking like that? Why are we not thinking prosperity? Why are we not thinking in a different vein? And you know, Pastor, you know, we've been giving seminars and educational workshops and everything for a lot of people, and the great majority won't show up. Those who need to receive this success information, this prosperity information, this biblical text and context won't show up. But if we say Jay-Z is on the bill, we'll have standing room only. And I appreciate the talents of this young man, but he's not giving you what you need to survive day to day. And
right.
I'm thinking 2008, the Wall Street Journal said, they surveyed 80,000 people, and he said they were thinking that they would like to be self-employed. I was really surprised that that number wasn't much higher, but I'm certain today it is astronomically higher because so many people are unemployed and underemployed. And the great majority of jobs have been downsized, outsourced, or completely gone. So what you weren't a year ago or 2 years ago, you have to become today. So if you weren't initiating different things in your life, you have to, for a survival mechanism, today. And so if you're afraid or intimidated by success, you'll soon be eliminated by success. And I don't understand why we find so much comfort in lack, in limitations, and just living the life of impossible when we are totally possible. We are able to succeed and achieve greatness. And so in my book, I made sure I embodied that. And as you see on my cover of my book, especially for those who are going to the website or interested in looking at the book or purchasing the book, my book does not have a big Mercedes. It does not have a big car and a fat drop of gold and money flowing down, because that does not denote success to me. It does, however, denote the trappings of success, and if that's what you aspire to have and that makes you happy, great. But for me, success comes in abundancy in a multitude of ways. As a man who said, 20 years ago, I'll make six figures. I'll have three children. I'll have a beautiful home. I'll have a wonderful life in my own business. And today, to be living those same words, that's success to me. You know, so Pastor, I told myself 20 years ago, when I didn't have a child, I want to position myself to have my Wednesdays off. I want to position myself if my child calls me and says, you know what, Dad, I broke my arm. Can you come get me from school? I shut down and I run. I didn't have that, but I saw that in others. You know, I'm a product of, teenage children. My mom herself, by the time her and my dad separated and divorced, she was still a teenager. And she raised me, with fundamentals and principles and laws. And also I was raised a lot by television, because I had older aunties who were doing their own thing. So I watched a lot of TV. And I watched those programs, Sanford and Son, Baby on Back, That's My Mama. But also watched Partridge. I watched the Partridge Family. I watched the Brady Bunch. I watched, Happy Days. And I saw disparities immediately. I saw that, Tom Brady can have six kids, a dog, a maid, and a convertible. And James Evans couldn't get Michael or JJ off the couch in the project. I saw how, we signified on, our programs, and they uplifted on their programs. We call our kids knuckleheads. They call their kids sweethearts and honey. I saw the difference immediately, and I knew what I wanted for my life. And so I started talking that into existence years ago, and has come to a visible manifestation today. And it's due to the great I Am that imposed and impressed it upon me, because it wasn't in my immediate surroundings. I didn't have that kind of environment, but somebody stood in the gap for me, and the prayers that went up and the cloak of Jesus laid upon me and protected me, and acted as a covenant, and I appreciate that today. So I want to make sure I talked about the mind consciousness in this book and how we change our way of thinking, because it's not your aptitude, it's your attitude that will dictate your altitude. And
that's
so for some pastor who didn't get that, I'm going to say it one more time. It's not your aptitude. Forget about the sheepskins on the wall. Forget about the accreditations and the accolations and everything else that you have. It is truly your attitude that will dictate your altitude, how far you will go in life and how much you can provide for yourself and for your family. I, as an insurance agent with Prudential, Pastor, I worked sometimes 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. I am ringing doorbells and sitting in people's kitchen at odd hours of the day for them to tell me, no, I don't want your product, I don't want to buy it. And I knew these people needed what I had the most, but they weren't of the mindset. They weren't of the consciousness. So as an insurance agent on the Forbes 100 list, as an insurance agent, I was 93 on the bottom of the list. It was right above adult solicitation, and right below a mortician. I studied for 1 year, and 1 year later I studied to become a financial advisor or a stockbroker, if you will, for a bank here in Chicago. And 1 year later, my life changed. My income level changed, but my status changed, and this was unbelievable. I just told you I was number 93 on the Forbes 100 list. After becoming a certified licensed financial advisor, I then became number three.
Wow.
Right below doctor and right above attorney. Now, understand.
Well, you were actually on the Forbes list?
No, I wasn't, but my career or my industry was.
Okay, so you went from number 93 to number three.
To number three, and I just studied 1 year. But the ironic part about that is because as an insurance agent, I'm selling a packaged product. I'm selling a perceived value in the future, meaning if you do this today, this will happen in the future should you or once you die. As a financial advisor or stockbroker, I'm doing the same thing. Buy the stock, and over years it will value and grow, and then you can use that in the future. So in doing that, I'm selling the same concept, the same product. Now you have to come to my office. Now my hours are from 9 to 5. Now I'm no longer ringing doorbells in the snow and the rain and everything else.
Yes.
You're coming to me and you're giving me bundles of money to help invest for the future. But again, more importantly, I went from 93 to number 3 in the industry. My income, 100% increase. But now my whole status changed, and I'm in an office. I'm in a setting. I'm comfortable. I'm warm. I'm cool in the air conditioning. And you're looking at me differently. You're looking at me as, you know what, help save me, help show me the way. Well, before, I'm trying to give you the way and show you the way, and people wouldn't take it or accept it. And it's like, wow. You know, either you're selling a Chevy or you're selling a Mercedes, but you're still selling the cars. But when you go to a Mercedes dealership, you feel a little different than when you're at a Chevy dealership. But it's all about mind over matter. It's perception. It is perception.
Well, but it sounds like you have a mind to succeed. You know, and that's what you were talking about earlier. And even as I was listening to you talk about the waves going out into the universe, you know, a lot of Christians will shy away, and that's bold language for a Christian, because a lot of Christians will shy away from that language because they have done so much with that in the secret and what do they call that? All that new ageism where you are God and you create your world. And, you know, my take on that, well, I'll tell you my take on that, but why don't you just let me know what's your take on that and how do you talk to people who are locked down when it comes to speaking things into existence and changing your mindset to think your way successful? How do you address those concerns with Christians?
You know, and it is a difficult task because I don't want to take away someone else's belief to impose upon my belief. And I know we read the same Bible, and again, I was born a Baptist, now I'm non-denominational, and I do believe in these, you know, speaking to existence. And I would look at that same person who won't speak prosperity, but they speak poverty. And I say, well, you spoke that into existence. You said that you're fearful, and now you're afraid. You said you won't never be, you know, have more than what you have, and you don't have more than what you have. You spoke that into existence just on the opposite side. See, the I am is the most powerful word that you can use within the universe. When Moses spoke to the bush, he said, who am I to go there? Who am I to talk to the people? He said, tell them that, you know, that the great I am sent you.
Yes.
And everything else changed. And so when you use the word I am poor, I am, you know, homeless, I am nothing more than what I'm going to be, then you use that power negatively, but it brings you affirmatively what you speak into existence. So when you say, I am healthy, I am prosperous, I am a wonderful creator of the great creator, the Almighty, then you stand as such, and then the world receives and perceives you as such. When I was dating, I didn't date women who smoked, I didn't date women who drank or who didn't respect their parents and their children. I didn't have a label. I didn't have a sign that says, you know what, if you don't meet these four criteria, turn the other way. But because how I stood as a man of God and a man of principle, those things didn't even attract towards me. I only attracted towards me the likeness and the mindset in which I am. And I proved to these people, you know, where I've made it through accidents where they didn't know if I was going to live or walk again, didn't take 1 ounce of medication to kill the pain, And I stand today as a man. I stand today as somebody who has, again, spoken into existence and not using some mystical powers, not using some satanic powers. I'm using the powers of the universe that the God gave us. What Pastor, what really surprises me is when I see people and they'll tell you, well, you know, this is what's in my environment. I can't be more because I didn't see more. But you know what? I look at animals as the purest nature, you know, part of nature there is, and there's two things that come in particular. One, the bumblebee, if you study the bumblebee in all its infinite beauty, the bumblebee physically cannot fly. Scientifically,
wow.
The bumblebee is not supposed to fly. The wingspan is too short and too fragile. Its body mass is too bulky and too big, and it doesn't have directional fortitude. But yet a bumblebee flies.
Wow.
Because it's instinctual.
Wow.
It's what it's supposed to do in nature. Now, you look at a lion or a tiger, they're going to roar regardless. But if you put them in amongst hyenas, you put them amongst zebras or anything else, they don't subsequently come out to be a zebra. They are still a lion or a tiger because that was what they are intentionally, instinctively meant to be and do. But we as humans, we render our power. We give it away. We say, well, they didn't teach me no better, so this is what. But you saw something different. Yeah, but I just stayed doing this. Because you wanted to. You yielded and gave up your powers and wonder why your gifts haven't come to physical manifestation. People don't realize
wow.
Beyonce is not the best singer in the world. She has maybe the hardest discipline. She is so focused. But she's not the best singer. There's an 18-year-old out there maybe can blow her out the water. But the 18-year-old won't go to the studio. The 18-year-old won't practice. The 18-year-old won't hone in on their craft. Therefore, we value and appreciate someone like a Beyonce, someone like yourself. When you got on the call today, I just heard your energy, Pastor. I heard your energy. So you told me without telling me that you love what you do, that you're grateful
yes.
for providing
yes.
a platform for our people. And
yes.
I thank you.
Yes. Amen. Well, I tell you, you're welcome. And I asked you that question because we have to come up in our thinking. You're right. And as long as we think, we are defeated. The Bible clearly tells us in Romans chapter 12 to not be conformed any longer to the things of this world as they have been established by this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the word of God. And the Bible is a precious book because all of the principles of our Father, of the great I Am, are outlined within the Bible. And if we will open that Bible and read that Bible, there is nothing but power coming up out of those pages. And I love the Bible. I love success principles because I believe that that is the plan of God. And I love what you've done in your book, even being able to defy the naysayers, because so many people will say, well, that's not God. But it is God, because if you search the scriptures, Jesus himself said, you shall have what you say. So, you know, it's just clear that these are biblical principles, and what has happened is the New Age movement has stolen what rightfully belongs to the kingdom of God. And
yeah.
they're just afraid to use what's rightfully ours to use in the first place. So
mm-hmm.
you're absolutely right. We're going to stay poor if we continue to think that we should be poor. Or, like
mm-hmm.
you said, if we're not willing to go forward and put some effort, put some feet to our faith, not just believing, but actually, Paul said, we believe, therefore we spoke as we believe. And James said, show me. You know, you show me what you believe by what you say, and I'll show you what I believe by what I do. So
yeah.
it's right that passion has to equate to action. You know, we
right.
need to do something. We need
mm-hmm.
to do something. So
yeah.
I'm just so grateful for what you, and you ignite me. I love being around people. You know, who have a mind to succeed, because that's part of God's purpose. Listen, God can't get any glory out of my life if I'm caught up in a dead end job. You know, got to make the donuts, not excited about what I have to do, and really not really looking towards bringing God glory in anything. But if I change my perspective, then my job is no longer dead end. It's an opportunity to bring God glory. So. And not only that, but I can work that 9 to 5 to get the resources to do my passion, which is what I do on the weekends and at night and on Sundays. Your passion, that stuff that you would do for nothing, man, it's like God is just, but he will turn that into income. like you said,
correct.
You were able to go from ringing bells and sitting down at people's tables to being in a maybe a corner office or at least an office where you're nice and warm in the brokerage firm where you are now clients are coming to you because
correct.
You have what they want. So, Verity, I tell you, just very, very useful information. Now, go ahead. I know you have some more. I'm going to open the phone lines. The chat room is full. In about 10, 15 more minutes, we'll open the phone lines so that people can call in with any questions that they may have. Tell me about your success. You're successful now. You are an entrepreneur now. You're living your dreams. I love the way you're promoting this book. I mean, airports. Popcorn shops. I mean, these are not very untraditional ways of promoting the book. I'm releasing my fifth book in a couple of weeks, Don't Die in the Wilderness, and
okay.
I'm going to be calling you up. I'm going to read your book again because I think your book is going to be able to help me. Tell me a little bit more about Verity Walker and why you're successful, and also one more question before we close out. How can we channel this into the ministry? How can I make the church, you know, my husband and I pastor church, and we have a few pastors who are listening, and we have some ministers who are listening. How can we be more successful in advancing the kingdom of God with your principles or with the principles that you have outlined in your book? So first tell me a little bit more about Verity Walker and what makes you successful, and then tell me how we can take that same those same principles and apply them to the kingdom and advancing the kingdom of God.
Excellent. Will do. Will do. Well, when it comes to me, and as I mentioned earlier, I'm a product of a teenage parent and their separation. So it's just me as a child. I have a sister. We're 11 years apart, so she's 11 years younger than me. So a lot of time was just by myself thinking oftentimes and dreaming. And back then, you know, it was cool to dream, and people asked you what you want to be when you grow up, and you always want to be something victorious, something where you can make a difference and change lives, from being an astronaut to a fireman or police officer. And I believed in that all of my life, and I told people I was going to be something great and something successful. I did not know what it would be. And me, academically, I wasn't an A student. I wasn't a scholar. I didn't stand out. But I didn't know what was going to get me to the level of success that I had admired and had dreamed about. But I just kept talking about things, and I was someone at a young age, Pastor, that would have premonitions. And I would have a premonition today, and 2 months later, I would be in the midst of whatever that premonition was 3 months
wow.
before. I'm standing at the location, or I'm talking to the person. I'm like, wait a minute, I talked to you 3 months ago. But that was the God in me, you know, dictating or showing me that something futuristically was going to happen in my life. The best thing that probably happened to me, which was probably one of the most horrific things, in 93 I had a motorcycle accident where I took a curve at 98 miles an hour that I was not prepared or experienced enough to handle. When I went down and I woke up and I was in the hospital, they didn't know again if I was going to walk again. I had both of my knees were split wide open, head trauma, body injury. And that transition, that time period where I had to now kind of just be unclothed, there was things I could no longer do at will, and I had to wait for others' assistance. But during that time, I never stopped dreaming that I would walk again, that I would be able to be viable. But because of the accident, it let me know that time is not of the essence. See, understand, people don't realize time is the one thing we have the most of, but it's the least thing that we should be wasting, because you never know when your time is up.
Mm.
And when I laid in that hospital emergency room, and my friend came over to me and told me, Verity, you must be loved. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, I made one phone call, and in 20 minutes, there's over 15 people in the emergency room waiting to see about you. He said it would probably take about 15 phone calls just to get a few people to come see about me. Pastor, right then and there, that was my moment of clarity. I understood that I had value, that people cared and was concerned about me, and I touched them. And so
wow.
What happened for that moment, I threw fear away. I want to conquer every fear. And I wrote down the 10 fears I had, and I conquered 9 of them within 6 months. Because fear is what hinders us. Fear is what prevents us. Fear is what keeps a woman who's being molested by a family member from talking and saying something. Fear is what keeps a 29-year-old man from being a father to his 2 kids out of wedlock. Fear is what keeps us from being this great salesperson or this great employee or this soon-to-be entrepreneur, because it hinders us. And if there was any other cancer like fear, they would have a campaign to eradicate it. But fear works for the media. It works for those who are trying to convince you that, you know, the kingdom of heaven doesn't belong to you. If I keep you in fear and bondage, you'll keep paying me money and not paying yourself money or tithing properly and getting the benefits that, you know, has been promised to you. So for me, it's my relentless inability to be defeated or to accept defeat. That's the difference between you and the girl who went to school with you who may be homeless. You took your hits and learned from them. She took her hits and accepted them and became defeated. In today's economy, I have not adapted to, you know, less because of this so-called recession. I just adjusted. Because my channel is still tuned on prosperity. And so for me, you know, so for me, it's just relentless and just believing that there can be more. And I go out there and I seek it. If my house is not, you know, conducive for my living right now, I don't go buy a bigger TV and a new dresser. I keep it just as it is because I'm looking at the mountains, I'm looking at the hills, I'm looking at something greater. And I would then drive to those areas in which my dreams, I think, would be fostered and facilitated. So I look for greater. I don't accept toxicity in my life, in my body, in my world, or my affairs. I detox every day, and I don't want toxic people around me. So when we talk about the church, we can no longer be acceptant of talking about lack and limitation, having those water cooler discussions, having people who are, you know, doing the fish fry on Sunday and Saturday and talking about, ooh, that pastor was great. I love what he or she talked about. But by Monday, you're cursing out your neighbor. You know, you go to their house, you know, they're looking, you know, $1 million fine at church, but you go to their house and you can't even sit down. You would dare not even eat on their floors. We can't accept that any longer. You know, I get tired of every year Channel 7 News across the country showing people in impoverished areas whose water is burst, the landlord is not taking care of them, and this, that, and the other. But when they photograph their environment, there's piles of filth. The landlord and the water didn't make that happen. That's you. And if your house is cluttered like that, if your spiritual house is cluttered like that, then you're cluttered like that. I want to make one comment. I met a lady years ago, and we went on a date. And I looked at her nails, they were all pristine, her hair, everything was to the nine. And so I jump out of her car to pump her gas, and she yells at me because I was putting in 87. She said she only puts in the best in her car. And so as we're driving away, I said, you know what, you say you only put the best in your car, but since we've been on this date, you've used profanity. You talk about that you're drinking, that you drink. I see you got those press-on nails. You have the false eyelashes and false hair, but, you know, and you eat anything. You eat fried foods, you eat any kind of junk, but you're one body that you only get one of. You put anything in and on that and let anything come out of that, but this car, which you can replace, you only put the best in. I said, think about what you just said to me and have a great evening. We have to change our mind. We have to. So in the spiritual realm, we have to talk prosperity until it makes everybody uncomfortable. So be it, because that means that you're not spiritually aligned with the great I am, with the God that's in you that you talk about, because you're not reading the scripture. You've been led by falsities. You've been probably, you know, dictated to through stereotypes. You know, I tell people, if it's your fate to die on a plane tomorrow, at least be in first class at a minimum or flying the plane yourself. Why are we so stuck in coach? Why are we so stuck in coaching in the back seat and feeling comfortable about ourselves because we had on Gucci? But you know what? I would rather you not have on Gucci except in front and first class and get all the amenities that belong to you.
Yeah, my good. So, and in the chat room, they said, great point. Wow, great point. Awesome. How do we get there, though? That's why so many people are stuck. And how do we get out of coach? How do I get from coach to first class?
You know what, with more people like you and myself where we are attainable, where we are touchable, my hair is still nappy. I'm forever black. I believe in, you know, I'm all pro-black nationalist. I believe in my people. I believe in supporting. We have, in the 1900s, there were millionaires in the 1900s. We were doctors, lawyers, and all this came out of necessity because we couldn't go anywhere else and get the treatment that we deserved. So we created and developed those people ourselves. So why are we in the 21st century still talking about being millionaires and praying that somebody gives us a leg up when we can give ourselves a leg up? We had Spike Lee in the 80s. We had John Singleton in the 80s, but they weren't green-lighting movies. We now have Tyler Perry, who has his own backlot, who's green-lighting his own movies. We have the Oprah Winfreys. We have the people and the resources there. We got to, you know, connect. We can't keep coming out of the house and do rags and house shoes and flip-flops, going to take our kids to school, and then tell them to do more with their lives, and we're not showing them an impression. We're not giving them a blueprint. See, I didn't have a blueprint. I didn't have dads and uncles around who invested in me. You know, so it was women like yourself who provided me the nurturing, who showed me. I mean, I had seven aunties who cultivated and tried to make this man out of me. And it was the most difficult thing because when they screened, I screened. You know, when you know, so some of my behaviors and tendencies, I understand and appreciate women more than I understand and value men. Because I was surrounded by them. But right now, I'll tell you, and you mentioned, you opened your wallet and you purchased my book. We had it, we met. But my brothers would tell me, oh, man, good job, man, you know, great job, you know, I support you. But they don't. But not only do you open your wallet, you open your Rolodex, you open your friendship, and you let other people receive what I'm trying to do to help support me. It doesn't mean anything to tell me, you know what, you need to get on Oprah. Because Oprah won't put me on her show until the numbers reflect so. So she said, wait a minute, this guy, you know, to this guy has done things. He's, you know, he's doing things. He's moving people. So to say, oh, yeah, you should be on Oprah, but you haven't even bought a book from me, you're not showing me that you're supporting me. You're talking about it, and God bless you. But I know that everybody's consciousness is not there. But if you're a living example, when I lived in a neighborhood that was unsavory, every day I came home, I had a bag, one of those Walmart bags, that I would have to go in the house and pick up litter off of my porch. Within 2 months, I saw the neighbor down the street doing the same thing. And within another week, I saw a neighbor across the street doing the same thing. So now it got to the point, and I tested this, Pastor. I would mow my lawn at 8 o'clock on a Saturday. So I'd go out there and mow it, and 5 minutes later, I hear another lawnmower rev up. Across the street, another lawnmower. So by 9:30, we're waving at each other, and we're done with our lawn. I said, you know what? This didn't used to happen when we first moved over here. So I waited one Saturday. I waited to 10 o'clock. I didn't hear one lawnmower. When I went out there and read my lawnmower, 5 minutes later, it's living by example. It's leading by example. See, when I was a young guy, hot-headed and frustrated because I wasn't going in the direction I felt my life was supposed to, I yelled at people. I screamed, listen to me, because that's how I knew how to be responsive. But once that accident happened and I learned that when you're living on purpose and you're focused and you're on your point, you no longer have to yell. People will then strain to hear what you have to say because you're a living example of what they want to be. People gravitate towards success. They repel towards mediocrity, and it disgusts people. It frightens people because it's a plague that you sometimes can't get off of you. So when you're thinking, you're telling your boss, "Honey, you're lucky I should come here and everybody don't like working here, so-and-so. There are some people looking at you who watch you get passed over 5 times, who you trained, who now are your manager. It's because of your attitude. See, they'll replace the brick and mortar. They'll replace the computer system, and they'll sure replace you if you don't add value to the relationship, whatever the relationship is. And that's where success comes in. It's being your best regardless of how you feel. Because if you can think yourself to health. You can think yourself to prosperity. When I told you I was an insurance agent, I made $25,000 a year. I made $25,000 a year. I met my wife, and she wanted to date, and she wanted to go out. And I was, oh, yeah, I'll come by and cook. Oh, I got frozen pizza. I have a video. She don't know. She didn't know I was rubbing 2 pennies together. And that one year after studying to become a financial advisor, my income grew to $100,000.
My goodness.
I was at six figures because I changed my attitude and changed my mind and allowed the greatness that was in me to shine.
The greatness that was in you to shine. And you talked about not possibly not being able to walk after the accident. And there's a statement that I was going to ask you, what got you up out of that I'm going to ask you, what got you up out of that bed? How is it? Because when I saw you, you were standing tall, and I was. I saw the book. I was attracted to the book title, but I was also drawn by the confidence. You know, you had an aura of confidence about yourself. When you spoke to the room full of women, you were able to relate to the women there. You spoke, and I was convinced. I, after hearing you speak for a couple of minutes, you didn't speak that long, maybe 5 minutes, and after seeing your book cover and seeing you post on the cover of the book with your dukes up, I was convinced that I wanted your book. Now, there were more than one. There were like three or four authors there, and somebody with CDs, but I was convinced that if I had nothing else, that I was going to get your book. And another thing, I asked you if you took checks, and you said to me, you said, I don't normally take checks, but I will take your check. Now, what did I do? I went downstairs and went to the ATM and got the cash to give it to you. Because, it was like I said, the energy was and the interaction was as such as, yeah, this is a win-win situation. And his book is going to help me. So, you know what? I know how it is to take a check. I'm going to go downstairs and do the extra mile. What I'm saying to you is that when you make things happen for people, or you have something and it looks like you have something that I want, I will go the extra mile to get what I want. And that's what you've been saying to us today. You know, to become a marketable amenity, to become something that people need, something that people want, someone that people want to be around, to become valuable, to become an asset instead of something that's going to drag people down. So that, but I want to ask you, why did you get up? What got you up out of that bed? You were not able. They told you you would not walk. Why did you get up?
You know what? It was just my conviction and my determination. You know, seeing the pain in my family's eyes as they looked down upon me, you know, wondering, would I make it? Hearing the nurse in the emergency room tell the doctor, he's not breathing, doctor, he's not breathing. Breathe, young man, breathe. And to the point where with, you know, the legs, as bad as they were so, you know, mangled and I was in such, you know, pain. But I realized I had a lot more living and a lot more things to do. I hadn't yet even had my first child. I hadn't yet met my pinnacle, and I was determined to get up and walk. When you saw me just 9 months before that, I ran my first fake 5K race. I did it in 30 minutes and 46 seconds. I bike ride. I jog. I do everything. I went skiing, you know, several years back. I just have so much life in me. If I died tomorrow, I would die probably okay. But you know what? If you came to my funeral and you saw the casket kicked open, don't worry, because I still have a lot more life in me. And I'm not going down. And I have so much more. And then now with my three children inspiring me, informing me and having me educate them as well as they educate me. My 14-year-old was 12 years old when my book was being produced. She's my junior editor. My 10-year-old was 8 years old. She did my YouTube video. My 10-year-old, just 3 weeks ago, she gave me the title of my new book, and I'm on page 30 of writing that new book. And so I just always believe where I am at is not where I'm supposed to be. The day of my rehabilitation session, my therapeutic session, was an interview. It was 1 month after my injury. It was 1 month later that I had a therapeutic session to rehabilitate my legs and get them moving again. I had an interview for a new job. I leave that session. It takes me 10 minutes to get to my car and just as long for me to get in my car. That would normally take anybody else 2 minutes. I drive 2 miles away to the expressway entry ramp, and I'm sitting there with tears streaming down my face, wondering if I make a right in 10 minutes and just two exits away, I'll be home. But if I make a left, it's going to take me an hour away to a new opportunity, to a new venture that I knew nothing about. Every emotion known to man erupted inside of me, euphoria, excitement, anger, fear, everything you could think of. By the time the light changed, I made the decision to make that left. And in making that left, throwing off fear, throwing off negativity, forgetting about the naysayers. See, my family and friends would have been quite all right if I would have took the trip home. Oh, I understand. You're in pain. You just had a motorcycle accident. People need to understand. but they didn't understand. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was looking for a change, and the change and the opportunity was there. See, I was straddling before then. I was trying to make a transition, and I wasn't because I allowed fear and like the little voice inside of me changed my mind. Because of the accident, I was forced to do it. So I had to go home and just be complacent or take the challenge and go to this new opportunity. And from doing so, that's where I gained Versi. That's where I gained the true essence of who I was, a man who's committed, who has conviction, and who can overcome any adversity thrown my way. And I've always been that. But you know what? So even though I told you earlier when you were a kid and everybody asked you what you want to be these dynamic, victorious things because you feel you can conquer the world. For the great majority of people, by the time they're 25, they feel that the world has conquered them and they slide into a place of mediocrity and complacency.
Wow.
You know, and so I made sure that I wasn't going to get stuck in that rut. And so that's what allowed me to get up out that bed and continue today, even in spite of, you know. So you're on your fifth book. I'm writing my second book. I never wrote a love letter, Pastor, so I never intended or thought I would ever write a book. I've always
wow.
wanted to be an inspirational speaker and didn't realize writing a book would lend that opportunity. So now I have the Million Dollar Mind series where I tell you change your mind. I have my first success book. I'm having my second installment success book. Had the pleasure of meeting you and spend time with Coach LaLisa and others, and we're building this foundation, which we're now the new face. We've had the Les Browns. We've had the Zig Ziglars. We've had the Al Sharptons. Now we have the Pastor about the Versi Walker. We're the new face, and we're standing in the same intimate desires that we're talking about, and people see the reflection, and they want to stand right next to you. See, with Jesus, they just want to touch the hem of his garment, and they knew that their life would be transformed. You know, that's power.
Yes,
it's power
that
to
is
be able
power.
To whisper. Yeah, it's power to be able to whisper, and people stand and strain and hear what you have to say, because they know that if you got there, and you look like me, talk like me. I'm ironically incorrect sometimes. I'm the same guy again. You know, if I had a fur coat and I threw it on my bed and hit the floor, it'll stay there. You know, I'm still versatile. I'm still someone that you can touch and talk to. I'm real. And I think that
yes,
makes
you
a difference.
Are.
Because, thank you. And so many other people that we see, we don't believe that we have that connectivity. So we say, you know what, it happened for them. It can't happen for me. No. There's a lot of Jay-Z's, there's a lot of Pastor Rebecca, there's a lot of Al Sharptons, and each one of the people who are listening and that are amongst us, we just got to raise our hand and be accounted.
Amen. I totally agree with that. Well, I can't believe how fast the time is going. This is Woman to Woman, and I am your host, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. It's a pleasure to be here today with my guest, Versi L. Walker, the author of Success, How I Ended Up Here. And this man is just he has a wealth of information. His book is available. I'm going to have him give you his website so that you can get a copy no matter what you're doing, whatever you're doing in life. This book can be beneficial to your success. This book is going to pivot you and propel you in the direction of and towards accomplishing the things that you have set your heart to accomplish. Everybody out there listening has a call on their lives. You have a call to do something great that's going to bring God the glory. He said he would make your name a praise and a fame. And God told that same promise. He told Abraham, I will make your name great. It carries on because God has to get the glory in your life. So it was not meant for you to be mediocre. Oh, no. And you have heard my guests say that. It is not meant for you to be mediocre. It's meant for you to be great. To God be the glory. Amen. So we're on our way. We're there. We're already there in our minds and our thought processes and the way that we do life. We're just waiting for the manifestation, and we know that is coming because Jesus said, you shall have what you say. And if you can't do it yourself, he said, if you ask, as you abide in him and let his words abide in you, he said, you shall ask whatsoever you want, and it will be done for you. So we can't lose with the stuff we use, and I'm just so glad to be on that path to success that Versi talks about. Versi, I want you to let people know how to get your book. I'm going to open up the phone lines. We have 25 minutes. I want people to call in 646 652-4832. Call in so that we can take some calls so that you can talk to Versi and myself. Versi, let us know, how do we get your book and how do we find out more about the Million Dollar Mind series, and how do we get even some of the audios, because we too want to have a relentless inability to be defeated or to accept defeat in our lives. So please, please give us the information that we need so that we can get in touch with you, get more information, get some of your products so that we can also continue on this path of success.
Thank you so much. No problem. In order, if you're looking for more information about me, my book, and some of the products that I offer, especially the speaking engagement, it can be found at www.versiwalker.com, and that's spelled V as in victory, ERSIEWALKER.com. And for your listeners, for those who purchase a book, and for those who let me know that you heard me on Pastor Rebecca's show, I will actually send the book to you without postage and handling. So I would take care of the postage and handling. And also I would include my Million Dollar Mind business plan. It's a 26-page comprehensive business plan that you can outline your future. So you can now take December 31st as the ending of the beginning. So the ending of what you did last year and the years before and the beginning of a new coming. And you can write down and chart your plan. This can be used for your financial aspirations and your personal aspirations as well. And if you're borrowing money from a bank or even from a family member, they want to see that you have a written plan. They want to see that you have a dedicated commitment and focus to what you say you want to do. So if it's that bakery, if it's that laundromat, or going back to school, if you put it down and you write it and make it plain, it would then become your future and your existence. Excuse me. I read somewhere years ago that in life, if you do just enough, you will be a slave. And if you do a little more, you can be free. And I took that to heart, and I became a person who got to work 15 minutes earlier. I stayed 15 minutes later. I did just a little bit more, and I saw freedom. I saw freedom of my finance, freedom of my time, and freedom of my mind. And if we can just be let our minds be transformed and do something different today than we've ever did before, you will see the results in your life, and people will notice without you even telling them, without you even stating, they will see the difference in you. You can't get up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a job when you know that it's been announced on the radio. If you're not there the night before, you're not getting that opportunity. We could stand 2 days in front of Walmart for Black Friday. We should be able to stand for our kids and for the betterment of ourselves any day. So, again, it's at versiwalker.com. You can order directly from the site, and I will autograph it to you. And, again, I will cover the shipping and handling and also include the Million Dollar Mind series, actually business plan booklet, which is 26-page. Starting in the beginning of the year, I will start having audio available, and as I said, I'm working on my second installment, which is called Success, the I'm Possibilities of Life. So I'm showing you that the I am and the word I'm possible is one word. You can just say I'm possible as opposed to impossible, because you can conquer whatever you set your mind to do.
Well, I'm Versi Walker.
Wow, awesome. That was your website. Your website is awesome. I need one of those. That is very nice. Pastor Larry was in the chat room asking us for you to give your website again, and I put it in the chat room so that people can go directly to it. And again, if you pick up Versi Walker's book today, let him know that you heard him on my show, Woman to Woman. He will pay the postage, and he will also send you free a copy of the Million Dollar Mind business plan so that you can chart your course of success. And I'm excited about that. I already have the book. I'm going to have to find out how to get that
I got it for you.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Because I believe that your principles can be applied to the church, that we can take these same principles and apply them to winning souls. You know, my thing is winning souls and also transforming lives. So everything that I do is geared towards that. So I believe that I could take these. As I was reading your book, I was like, wow, if I made some more phone calls, if I passed out some more tracts, if I did some more audios, if I got the word out there on Facebook, if I preached the gospel everywhere and anywhere, then I could
win more souls for Christ. You know,
correct.
if I did more, you know, I'm doing enough, but I need to do more. And my husband always says that if we just need to do more. And I receive that.
Amen.
So firstly, are you ready to take some calls?
I sure am.
Okay, we do have a couple people already on the switchboard. We have quite a few people in the chat room. I want to invite everyone who's listening live to call in, 646-652-4832, and speak with Verzi. Ask him your questions. There was a question in the chat room by Ms. Quiet Storm. I'm going to start with her question, and then I'm going to open up the phone line. She asked a question, in your opinion, Mr. Walker, how important is it to be open to the ways our dream, how important is it to be open to the ways our dream life will manifest? Okay. Yeah, how important does, can you answer that question? How important is it to be open to the ways that our dream life will manifest?
You know what? It is 100% important because you set out to be a pediatrician and didn't realize that your life would transcend and make you a pastor. And so if you fight that that's truly in you, and that's where I gave the example about the lion and the tiger, if they fought what was truly instinctively in them, they wouldn't be comfortable. They wouldn't be happy. So you may make money as a pediatrician, but if your calling is to be a pastor, you have to open up and forget about what other things, you know, people may think or what your perceived course was, because my course, again, wasn't to be an author. I was destined for success. Didn't know it would be as being an author or being a public speaker. So I had to, you know, allow myself to shed the cloak of indifference. And I didn't want to be a salesperson. I thought that was the worst thing. Oh, no, I'm not going to sell people what they don't want, and they're not going to slam a door in my face. It was the best move I made when I changed my mind. In fact, when I stepped out of my way. So you must be receptive, and you must be disciplined.
Wow, powerful. Okay, so that is just a powerful answer, and I received that also to stop kicking against the pricks, you know, and just do what God called you to do. My God, I'm kicking and screaming. We have another caller, area code 973. Your hand is raised. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. God bless you.
Who's calling? God bless you. Hi, this is Tina. Tina Lane. I'll talk to Rebecca. Hi, Mercy.
Hey there. How are you?
Hey, Tina.
Hey. I had to call into the show. I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Verzi Walker at the Got Motivation Then Now at Rutgers, and I'm going to tell you, this book is awesome. I didn't have all the details about what was inside the book before I purchased it, but as I was sitting there, I kept saying to myself, I have to get his book. Now I understand why. This book is so inspirational to me. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Coming from a sales background, it's helped, but also just going to the point of transitioning and change and believing in yourself and knowing that dreams have no deadline. I love that when you put it in your book.
Thank you.
Wow.
Dreams have no deadline. This book is truly inspirational, and I really just had to call in to say that to everyone. I don't have the millionaire one, but I'm going to work on that one. But this one right here, I'm still reading it. I'm going back. I'm taking some notes. I'm highlighting some things. So now I understand. But, Lord, why do I have to get this book? But now I understand why. This is an excellent book.
Thank you. And I know I was walking past, and you were like, wait, hold on. I want to get your book. And I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I appreciate it. I'm humbled anytime someone does that, because this was, again, my dream that I'm trying to share with the universe. And in the book, I really outlined, I'm just like you. I'm someone who had adversity, someone who had struggles on the playground. I used to be 300 pounds at one time. So I had to overcome, you know, that aspect of my life and realize that I'm predisposed to gaining weight. I have obesity on my dad's side, and we have overweightness on my mom's side. So it's a struggle. And I shared that intimately in my book because I want to let you know, again, I'm touchable, I'm attainable, but I'm just like you who looks in the mirror at yourself and may not be totally happy with what you see, but you can change your existence when you change your mind. Thank you so much, Tina.
You're welcome.
Wow. Tina, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you. I appreciate your comments.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Okay, Verzi,
Pastor Larry Sarton in the chat room, who's very interested in your website, he wanted us to repeat that information, which we did, and I also posted it in the chat room, says that he's looking forward to meeting you. He said that you're using biblical principles to find success. It works. And Pastor Larry is in Chicago. He told me that he has been to the popcorn. Let's get popping. And he says they have great popcorn and great ice cream there. But he flew me in actually last year to his women's conference over at the Christian Faith Family Center. I butchered his name, but he's also a host here at Block Talk Radio, Moments in the Word. And I definitely pray that the two of you will make a connection because I know that iron sharpens iron, and together, boy, I tell you, you two could get together. Wow.
Wow, that would be excellent. I'm actually here in Chicago now. I've been here since last Sunday, and I leave on Sunday afternoon. And this is home for me. This is home for me. So to be able to meet with him, converse with him, come back and maybe speak with him or for him, that would be nothing but a pleasure. I need any excuse to come back home. Any excuse.
Well, hey, listen, if you're free tomorrow, it's the Christian Family Faith Center. I don't have the address that Pastor Larry Short will put it in the chat room. I don't know where you're worshiping tomorrow morning, but if you are over by his end of town, stop on in. I'll tell you, it'll be a blessing for you to meet Pastor Larry. He's at 10714 South Wentworth.
Okay. Great.
I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I'm in the Hundreds right now. I'm on 145th Street. I'm just trying to picture where the Wentworth area is at. It must be in Roseland, so not too far away from where I'm at right now. So definitely if he can maybe post it on my or friend me on Facebook so I can definitely get the address and information, I'll be more than happy if we have the opportunity to swing by and say hi.
Right. If you have that opportunity, I will make sure that you get that information. Well, let's take another call. Area code 773, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pastor. How are you?
Oh, Pastor Larry Sarton. I tell you, I was just talking about you. I didn't recognize your number there. Moments in the Word, everybody, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Moments-in-the-Word. Powerful broadcast every Wednesday at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You want to tune in. Pastor Larry is another brother who has infinite wisdom. Pastor Larry, welcome to the broadcast. The question or comment for Mr. Walker.
God bless you, Pastor. As I already stated, Brother Walker, I'm sorry, Brother Walker, how are you, sir?
Doing well. And yourself, Pastor?
Good. All is well, sir. All is well. Listen, I was listening to the show, and I love the way how you allow your tragedy to turn into triumph, because what happens with most people is that they spend time feeling sorry for themselves instead of finding ways to become successful even in the midst of their tragedy. And I love how you picked yourself up and allowed your gift and your motivation to push you to the place God wanted you to be. I know here I often say this, that we can't just keep sitting by waiting for God to rain something out of the sky. But God says he will open up the windows of heaven. That word translated is he will open up opportunities. And
right.
So it is not that God is not giving us opportunities, but many of us are so busy sitting sorry for ourselves until we often say things like, I'm waiting on God. And the truth is, God has already given us the opportunities, and he's waiting on us to walk through the door. And so I love what you've done. And not sitting back and just, you know, whining and complaining about where you've been, but taking advantage of every moment to maximize your potential and your ability to become successful as you are. And so I bless God for that.
Thank you so much. And I know there's a joke years ago I heard, Pastor, is that, you know, someone's house was flooding and the water made it up to the first level, and they went up to the second level, and a boat went by saying, come on, you know, we want to, you know, take you to safety. No, I'm waiting on Jesus. And then they went, and then the water made it to the second level, and he went on the roof. And another boat came by and said, I'm waiting on Jesus. And then so they made it on top of the roof, and it's flooded, and the helicopter comes and said, come on, I want to take you to safety. No, I'm just waiting on Jesus. And so when they make it to the pearly gates, he says, God, I was waiting on you. But you were waiting on me. I sent you three people to save you. You know, you didn't take action. And we have
That's
to
it.
Take action. You know, we have to take action. So great.
That's it.
Great.
That's it, because, I mean, one of the things I understand, sir, is that it is my passion that keeps me driving forward. And if
right.
a person doesn't have a passion for what they do, as I heard you say before, that is you have a passion for what it is that you do. And if people don't have a passion, there's a difference between a good idea and having a passion for something. When it's a
right.
good idea, I may or may not follow through. But when it's my passion, it is my passion then that drives me, no matter how things look up front.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Correct.
I put the effort in up front so that I can reap the benefits on the back end. And this is what, especially our people, and it's a shame to say, but especially our people, we want success today. But in fact, if you really want to get success, it's going to take some kind of work up front. And you put the hard work in up front, and then as you get older, you can sit back and enjoy the success. But you have to have the passion and the desire and the willpower to do it and fight through all the hard places of life. Because as I heard you say, listen, life is going to bring storms, but it's how you handle the storm that will determine how successful you'll be once you come out the storm.
Right. Amen. Well, I thank you so much, and you're right. And much of these principles, as you mentioned, is biblical. And when I was sitting in church, you know, as a young lad and as a young man, some of this stuff I didn't realize just through osmosis, being in the right place, you know, what it germinated and it resonated in my mind and in my heart. And when I started writing the book, these things just started to pour out into the page. And again, I didn't realize that they had been there, and I didn't realize that I'd already been living this way in this life all of my life, and just now it's coming to me for visible manifestation for those around me. Oh man, you're Versi. I remember you when we were in high school. But you know what?
Right.
I do remember you. You always talked about, you know, you were going to be something. You always talked about you were going to do things differently in life. And so you speak those into existence, especially if you use the I Am principles and you use it in a positive light. And I just ask
Absolutely.
All of our listeners, all of our family, our friends and associates, make a change. It is considered to be insanity if you continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. You can always be on the right track of life, but sometimes you're sitting back patting yourself or sitting down too long smelling the roses. The train still comes, and so you wind up getting hit by the train because you didn't keep moving, even though you're on the right track. And so I thank you for understanding that and finding that just in our communications here, but this is what I do instrumentally throughout life. I'm not a guy who talks about saving the world, but I won't even go save my son. I won't go talk to my daughters. You can't do that. You know, you can't live in that duality and think that you won't become, you know, shown for who you really are. My children, as I said a minute ago, inspired me in such a way. Well, I'm writing again. My 5-year-old told my 10-year-old, listen to me. It is true because Daddy said this. He said, whatever you want to be in life, if you're not it, go to it and tell people you want to be it, and that's how you become what you want to be. This is my 5-year-old.
Wow.
Wow. Well, that's powerful right there.
Thank you. I would love the opportunity to meet you, Pastor. I would love the opportunity to meet you. I'm here for one more day. I'm here in Chicago. I'm getting back to New York. It's a 12-hour drive. When you got 5 people, it's hard to, you know what, pack all these clothes and things and jump on a plane. You got to get there 2 hours early. Then your cavity search, and then the plane gets delayed, so sometimes we drive home, especially when we know we're going to be here a week or longer. So if
Absolutely.
You could friend me on Facebook, and I can get the address and everything to the church, if I have the opportunity, I would love nothing other than to come by and at least say hi.
Excellent. I sure will.
Thank you.
I sure will.
Pastor Larry?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you saying something, sir?
You know what? I was just saying I would do that. I will find them on Facebook, and I will send a friend's message out because he has a great message, and especially for our people who really need to hear that, because oftentimes I heard him make a reference to Sanford and Sons and all the the black programming as opposed to the Caucasian programming, and they really look totally different. And what mm-hmm. keeps us messed up is that when you watch the television, it's going to tell a vision. And if all of us simply look at how we downgrade each other, and again, I'm not kicking against Sanford and Son, but if you notice, he always called Lamont a big dummy. You
right.
never saw that in the Brady Bunch. You
right.
didn't see that. You know, they were
yes.
always pushing each other and always encouraging each other. And this is how they did what they did. And so
mm-hmm.
For our people in our community, if we don't teach each other how to celebrate each other, we'll always have the crab mentality, you know, pulling each other down, and we find more things wrong rather than finding things to celebrate about each other. And
yeah.
this is in church and family across the board. Jesus said this. Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. And until we get back to that basics and learn how to come together, because whatever gifting God has given you, God has given me a gift to complement you. You know,
right.
I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I said, just because it's my car does not mean I can't ask you for directions. You see?
Correct.
And so
yes.
I may have the car, but I need you to get me to where I'm going. And this
yes,
is how
sir.
We are. This is how God has made us in the body of Christ. God has given all of us different giftings, different abilities, different anointings. And the truth is, Pastor, we need each other to make it in life. No man is an island. And so if
yes.
I take my gift and I pour my gift into you and you pour your gift into me, guess what? We both attain success. But if I
mm-hmm.
keep mine over here and you keep yours over here and we're hoarding our gifts, the truth is you have 20 different gifts and nobody has really been successful.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree with that, Pastor Larry. Powerful point that you make. We do need each other. So I encourage everybody, you know, don't just listen to this broadcast. Go out and buy the book and tell them that you heard. Tell Mr. Walker that you listened to the broadcast, that you listened to the archives. Go over to his website, www.versiewalker.com. That's VersieWalker.com. And keep up with him. Friend him on Facebook. He is one of my friends on Facebook. He is a down-to-earth young man who was very successful, and he could tell you about success. I mean, as you've heard the broadcast, crippled, paralyzed, didn't think he could get up and go again, spoke into his own life that he would be married with kids, went from selling insurance door-to-door to being very successful at a stock brokerage firm on Wall Street, just really, really moving forward to do all that he knows God has put in him to do, relentlessly moving forward and conquering fear. Oh, my God. So many things. And look for his new book. So Mr. Walker will be back with us. We have 2 minutes. I have one more caller. I'm just going to squeeze this caller in and give this caller 1 minute to make a remark. Then we're going to
and
go
while
back
the caller's
to Mr.
Come,
Walker.
While the caller's coming in, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Make sure you guys make her get me back on this show. I had a great time.
Okay.
That's right. He'll be back. Versi will be back. We have our caller 862. You have 30 seconds to make a comment. Let us know what you think of the show. If you have anything to say to Mr. Walker.
I just heard the tell. Hey, is this me?
Yes, that's my husband, Pastor Anthony.
Okay. Hey there.
You just heard the tell.
I heard the end of the broadcast, Pastor Larry and the gentleman's comments, and pretty much I just heard, you know, about the need of the unity in the body of Christ, and along with sometimes the crab mentality, we do not advance as we should. So I didn't hear the content. I may listen to the archives later, but I believe that the topic was a very timely topic, and I'm sure the broadcast was powerful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, definitely listen to the archives. I think you can find value there, as everyone else will as well. And I'm elated to, you know, to be on the show, and, you know, grateful for the invite. And I always tell people, you know what, I have to be a great guest, and the people who invite you have to be great hosts. And Pastor, again, you're extremely great host and gracious for allowing me to be on your platform, and I thank you.
Thank you, and thank you so much for being with us on today. Again, his website is Versi. VersiWalker.com. Pick up a copy of Success, How I Ended Up Here, and keep up with him because the Lord's going to do great things through this man of God. Again, I thank everybody for listening. You can listen to the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/power. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/power. So go on and listen to the archives, and I invite you all to come back next week when we'll be here live at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mr. Walker, Pastor Larry, honey, Tina, thank you all for being with us on today. We will reschedule again, Versi, so I will be in touch with you.
Thank you so much, and God bless.
God bless. So God bless you, everyone, everybody in the chat room. God bless you, Pastor Larry.
God bless you as well, Pastor Rebecca and Brother Walker. God bless
you,
sir.
Thank you.
Listen, I want my popcorn, and I want my Harold's chicken. So,
oh,
you
know. Oh. She knows.
You got it coming.
She knows goodness. She knows goodness.
Yes. Yes, yes, the house chicken, I tell you. So, Versi, when are you coming back? I might have to have you bring me some.
I'm actually leaving. I'm leaving in the morning, so let me know. I'm leaving in the morning, heading back to New York.
So oh, no, well, Pastor Larry's going to shit.
Oh, he
no,
got you.
I know. Yeah, yeah, you're driving, though. You might be able to bring me some Harold's chicken.
Hey, you know what? We can meet somewhere on the tri-state. I don't mind.
Well, I'll connect with you on Facebook. Well, everybody,
all
thanks so much for listening. Have a blessed day. Go in peace and serve the Lord and know that anything is possible. And just to coin a phrase from Mr. Walker, you have to be, and of my cue, I'm missing my own cue. And that's another thing in being successful. Don't worry if you miss it the first time. Just keep moving forward. To coin a phrase from Mr. Walker, you have to have a relentless inability to be defeated or to accept defeat. So go out there and live your dreams. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. This is Pastor Rebecca. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Amen. And praise God.
Church boy!
This don't make no sense, Sean.
Hey.
I hope
hey.
I bring you glory on this
hey.
One, Father.
Hey. Hey.
Help me now.
I heard my mama cry,
yes,
I gotta let her know, he's gonna wipe her tears away.
You are listening to the
brother who should be dead right now. But I'm so glad God didn't give up on me. Ain't you glad he didn't give up on you? What's his name?